welcome to a Juno afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton, in for Jamie Waste. On today's show, we'll hear about the Alaska Youth Choir's holiday concert. We'll talk about all things Eagle Crest with Matt Lillard. Architect Alvin Huang will be here with a preview of his presentation for the Alaska Design Forum. Darren Snyder and Sarah Lewis will talk about the upcoming fermenting and pickling class and the Master Gardener class. And Julie Walker will highlight Saturday's Aware fundraiser, the Jingle Jog. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juneau afternoon, currently 40 degrees at the Juneau Airport.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Social media is flooded with tributes to John Trudell. The poet, actor, and political activist has passed away. We'll have more about his life and influence in Indian Country. But first, we turn to Canada, where the government has launched a national investigation on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, a move First Nations leaders and families have long called for. Also, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Perry Bellegarde, spoke highly of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at a special Assembly of Chiefs Tuesday. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The atmosphere was far different for this meeting, and in fact far different from other gatherings of Native leaders. The optimism was reflected in the smiles on the faces of the National Chief and other chiefs. Hundreds of them were on hand for the three-day gathering. Bellegarde could hardly contain his enthusiasm as he reflected on the fact that for the first time, Canada's Aboriginal people engaged in the election process. 10 elected members of Parliament are Aboriginal. 2 of them have been named cabinet ministers in the federal government.
We meet today at a great time of great challenge in the world and in our territories across this land. And yet there is hope and optimism for better days ahead.
Bellegarde also welcomed Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, saying it's been many years since a Prime Minister has sat down with First Nations leaders. And he said this Prime Minister has not only pledged change, but has shown that he embraces change and demonstrated that during the opening of the Paris Climate Conference.
Canada's 4 seats for the opening ceremonies, they were occupied by 4 individuals. The Prime Minister, number one, was there. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Stephen Dion. The Minister of Environment and Climate Change, Catherine McKenna. And myself. The Assembly of First Nations was part of that delegation.
Tomorrow I'll have more on what the Prime Minister said to Native leaders. I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
John Trudell, well known for his lifelong activism, including in the American Indian Movement and for his artistic expression, passed away Tuesday. A trustee for his estate says he died at his California home surrounded by family and friends. Trudell spoke with our sister program, Native America Calling, earlier this year about his role in music as a writer and spoken word artist.
In reality, we live in, everything is about energy. Everything. We are units of energy. So anyway, everything's about energy. Being part of the human is the energy part, spirit. And all energy has frequencies. Right? Just the way that it is the way it works. And so for us as human beings, the music is one of those energies that kind of, the frequency of it is like, it's a medicine.
Friends are among those remembering his contributions. Jonelle Romero with the Red Nation Film Festival says he was honored last year with the Lifetime Achievement Award and says she hopes younger people embrace the lessons he taught.
To learn and to read about John Trudell and to learn about who he was and what the legacy that he's left. And the personal message is his beautiful, beautiful, beautiful energy that he carried and the love that he had in his heart for the people.
Film producer Heather Ray traveled with him to create the documentary Trudell.
I do feel like that he was one of the most important figures in terms of, you know, the 20th and 21st century, certainly for, you know, for Indian Country, and was such a profound orator, voiced something for everyone, not just Native people. I mean, in the sense that he speaks for the earth. He has a way of looking at the world and history that I think has been extraordinarily educational and inspirational for many, many people.
Trudell passed away at age 69. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, in for Jamie Waste. With me now on the show is Amanda Blackgoat. She is the president of the board for the Alaska Youth Choir. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. So you have a holiday concert coming up this Saturday, is that right?
Yes, we do. It is at the Northern Lights United Church, and it's at 7 p.m.
Okay. The Alaska Youth Choir, about how many members do you have or participants?
We currently have about 40 choristers, give or take. But,
oh,
yeah, we have
choristers.
Choristers, yes.
I like that. Choristers. And what's the age range of your choristers?
Oh, they run from 6 to 18.
And do you have kids on the chorus?
Yes, I have two. I have my oldest is currently 14. She's been on since she was 6. And then my middle child is currently, this is her second year, and she's 7.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about the choir. So we'll be seeing a holiday concert this Saturday. What are some other events that you do throughout the year?
We do two more concerts in the, I'm going to say springtime. We have an early spring and then one in May, typically. Then we also do a lot of fundraising. We do bake sales for Juneau Jazz and Classics and sometimes at Jack's events. And we use that money usually for either the Alaska Youth Choir as a whole or to raise money for tour. Our choristers are not going on tour until summer 2017, but that gives us some time to raise money so that we can hopefully have a big group go.
All right. I bet it's fun. Tell us a little bit about what your kids have experienced or what have they liked most about it or how have you seen them grow?
With my oldest, she was definitely, I've seen the most growth with her, and that is she's become a young lady. Mm-hmm. She is better able to handle difficult things that come her way because I think that Alaska Youth Choir exposes them to different kinds of experiences and events and in places where they have to keep their composure, and that's not always easy to be taught or learned. Both my children are a lot more outgoing than I was as a child, and so that gives them a venue for them to, you know, develop that and flourish and blossom in it.
All right. It sounds great. What can folks expect on Saturday night?
We have this is my favorite concert of the year. It's at Northern Lights United Church. Is a beautiful venue for us to be in, and it's just always decorated and beautiful. And so it's typically my favorite concert. I hope everyone would like to come and join us because they sing beautifully. We have all kinds of holiday songs that Miss Missouri has put together, and we just look to share them with the community.
All right. So this starts at 7 p.m. this Saturday at Northern Light United Church. Is there a cost to get in?
Yes. It is $10 a person and then $5 for children 12 and under.
And you're telling me about raffle tickets too, right?
Oh, yes. Raffle tickets. Let's not forget it. We typically raise funds for Alaska Youth Choir through a raffle each fall, and we will be pulling our winners at the concert for this raffle.
Okay, well, this sounds like fun. It's this Saturday, 7 p.m., Northern Light United Church. Amanda Blackgoat, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we're missing?
Come buy a raffle ticket or enjoy our show.
All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Okay. Thank you.
Listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Scott Burton in for Jamie Wace today, and it's about 12 minutes after the hour. In the studio now with me is Mr. Matt Lillard. He's the general manager of Eagle Crest. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. General Mountain Update. How's it looking up there?
Good, good. We had a great weekend last weekend skiing off of the Black Bear chairlift with access from the Hooter chairlift. And basically what that means is people ride the Hooter chairlift up, and then they take laps on the Black Bear chair, basically on the east side of the mountain. And we had some great groomer conditions and just a whole lot of people, you know, getting out there and getting their legs warmed up after a hefty break after last year and really enjoying it. So it's been a lot of fun. And I think we'll probably end up in the same situation this coming weekend.
Okay.
You know, we had high hopes that we might pick up, you know, a decent amount of snow the past 2 days, but it definitely warmed up a little bit and the snow line creeped a little higher than we'd like. So, you know, I don't think we'll be able to expand upon operations this coming weekend, but we should be able to hold steady and do some more black bear skiing.
Well, that's a great thing. I mean, that's why you guys put in black bear, right?
Yeah, it's one of the, exactly. Yeah, there's a couple of big reasons why black bear is such a benefit, and this is one of them. So, you know, it's really lined up well. You combine black bear with the fact that we redid the trail from the top of the Hooter chairlift down to the bottom of black bear this summer. So it's now a work road. It's smoother, easier to groom, has a good consistent pitch. You know, it's had some culverts put in. And those two things, you know, that's really helped us get over to Black Bear and get skiing.
And is the train over there for all skiers, beginners, advanced?
No, right now it's really advanced and experts only. And it comes down to getting off the mountain. You basically have to take the mountain road all the way down. And it's thin, you know, as far as narrow and a little bit harder to turn on. It gets a little icier. So we're hoping to, you know, do some more grooming and be able to expand, you know, what we can do and who we can provide skiing for. But right now it's, you know, advanced and experts.
Okay, so you should be the same this weekend.
Yeah.
Which will mean which days and from when to when?
So as of right now, it's starting Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Hooter chairlift does close at 2:30, but the Black Bear chairlift runs till 3. And lift tickets are $35 for adults, and then it goes down from there based on age.
Okay. And you have some events coming up too, right?
Yeah. First is on December 19th, we have the Downtown Rail Jam that was originally scheduled for November 28th has been rescheduled for the 19th, and that's going to be a fantastic event down in Marine Park here. We're going to bring some snow downtown. We're going to bring, you know, some rails from our terrain park and get some kids up there sliding down them and having a great time with some food, beverage, music. And just lots of things going on in Marine Park. So that's going to be a lot of fun next Saturday night, the 19th.
Wow, that does sound like fun.
Yeah.
Describe, okay, maybe some of our listeners have never seen somebody take rails before. Describe that for them.
Yeah, so imagine a handrail on a staircase, and basically we build a ramp up to it with snow, and they jump up onto that, and they slide down it on either snowboard or skis, is the simplest way to put it.
Do you take rails yourself?
I have been known to, rather unsuccessfully at times, but I like to get out there and try everything, so yeah, why not?
All right, so that's December 19th, Saturday night. What time does that start again?
At 4:30.
Okay. Wow, at Marine Park. Have you guys done that before?
No, this is a first. You know, we sat there this last summer and go, what can we do to get some skiing off the hill in town and bring it to some people that don't usually see what goes on at Eagle Crest? And, I've been a part of these things in other parts of the country at other ski areas, and was like, let's do a rail jam downtown. And it just all came together. And, I want to thank our event coordinator, Charlie Harrington, for setting it up, but working with Parks and Rec and everybody else at the mountain. It's been a real team effort. You imagine getting snow and rails and other sponsors to get equipment down there. It's quite a feat, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be quite a scene down there on that Saturday. I can't wait to see it. And then your Christmas Eve event, right?
Yeah, our annual Christmas Eve event. Santa Claus is coming to Eagle Crest on December 24th, Christmas Eve. So it's a great annual event. And information on that is at skijuno.com. And basically, if you're interested in being a part of it and have some little kids that you want to make sure Santa knows that they're there, check it out at skijuno.com and get registered. And, he comes down on a ski patrol toboggan, visits with all the kids, hands out presents. We sing Christmas carols and have hot cocoa and cookies. It's another great event.
What's a good time on Christmas Eve to get up there? What do you say?
That gets going around 4:30.
Okay. And like you said, more information at skijuno.com. All right, Matt Lillard, he is the general manager up at Eagle Crest. Thanks for coming in. Are we missing anything?
No, I think that's it. Just stay tuned to skijuno.com and Facebook and Instagram for all the updates, and we'll check conditions tomorrow and let everybody know what it's going to be like for this weekend.
And let's all bring the temperature down a little bit, right?
Definitely. It looks like it's going to drop tomorrow with some sunny skies and get better for the weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
Does he still think about her? Why, there was never really any doubt. Every time he lights a candle or blows a candle out, the scientific nature of the ordinary man is to go on out and do the best you can. I don't think that you know, but I think you don't know. That old barometer goes crazy, baby, every time it starts to snow. You won't find me walking round your part of town. Give me the head of the snowman, sunshine. Brought him down. This world is full of people, they never seem to fall. Somebody said they seen you, you hadn't changed at all. The fundamental story of a contemporary man is to walk away and someday understand. I don't think that you know, that I think you don't know. That old barometer goes crazy, baby, every time it starts to snow. your part of town. Humidity built the snowman, sunshine brought him down. Scientific nature of the ordinary man is to go on out and do the best you can. I don't think that you know that I think you don't know that old barometer goes crazy, baby, every time it starts to snow. Won't find me walking round your part of town. Humidity built the snowman, sunshine brought him down. Humidity built the snowman, sunshine brought him down.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. It's about 22 minutes after the hour.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 9th of December, 2015. It's the birthday of one of the people who helped invent the modern computer, Grace Hopper, New York City, 1906. She liked to tinker with machines when she was a child, went off to college, studied math and physics, got her Ph.D. in mathematics from Yale. She went to work for the Navy during World War II. She was assigned to work on a machine that would help calculate the trajectory of bombs and rockets. It was an early computing machine. She then went to work writing programs for it, wrote a new computer language that used ordinary words instead of just numbers. It was one of the first computer languages, and it became known as COBOL, C-O-B-O-L, Common Business Oriented Language. It was in 1793 on this date that Noah Webster established the first daily newspaper in New York City. It was called the American Minerva. He started the paper in order to support the Constitution and George Washington. Published it for 3 years, and then sold it, moved to New Haven, and began work on his first dictionary. It's the birthday of the man who created Babar, the elephant of children's literature, Jean de Brunhoff, born in Paris, 1893. The character actually was created by his wife, Cecile. She came up with a story of a young elephant who's orphaned when his mother is killed by hunters. And she gave the story to her husband, who was a professional illustrator, and he drew him, the elephant in the natty green suit and the red roadster who liked to do calisthenics. And it's the birthday of the man who gave us the Uncle Remus stories, Joel Chandler Harris, born Eatonton, Georgia, 1845. He went to work for a plantation owner in Georgia, spent his evenings with the man's slaves, listening to their stories. And after he went to work as a reporter for the Atlanta Constitution, he started writing those stories down. The book came out in 1880, Uncle Remus, His Songs and His Sayings. And it's the birthday of John Milton, born London, 1608, who fought in the cause of the Commonwealth during the English Civil War, which got him arrested, lost his eyesight, spent the rest of his life blind, living in seclusion in the countryside, where he dictated his epic poem, Paradise Lost, to his daughters, line by line. Here's a poem for today by John Milton, entitled On His Blindness. When I consider how my light is spent ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent which is death to hide lodged with me, useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my Maker and present my true account, lest he, returning, chide. Doth God exact day labor light denied, I fondly ask. But patience, to prevent that murmur, soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly, thousands at his bidding speed, and post o'er land and ocean without rest, they also serve who only stand and wait. On His Blindness by John Milton. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes store, or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Staples, with technology products, copy and print shipping, and other solutions for businesses of any size. Learn more at Staples and Staples.com. Staples, make more happen. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Gordon was a good friend of mine. We spent a lot of time making music together. He was one of the best blues musicians I've ever had the honor of playing music with. Gordon started smoking at the age of 14. After he served in the military, he played music in many smoke-filled bars. There would be times he couldn't even get through a full song because he couldn't catch his breath. Gordon died of emphysema in 2010 at the age of 57. Don't let tobacco take away what you love the most. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW and get the life-saving help you deserve.
Brought to you by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
This is Bird Note. It's early morning on the island of New Guinea. The lowland forest erupts with the crowing calls of male Ragiana birds of paradise. Groups of male Ragiana birds of paradise perform elaborate displays to attract females. The size of small crows, the males have a yellow head, bright green throat, and a lush mass of fine russet orange plumes that hang well beyond their tails. In a sequence known as the flower display, the males hang upside down with their wings flexed downward while flaunting those russet plumes upward. Birds of Paradise, an aptly exotic name for this most varied and extravagantly decorated group of birds. All 43 species are found on New Guinea or nearby. Picture one named the ribbon-tailed Astropia as it flies along the forest edge. With an emerald green head and velvety black body, the Astropia trails two slender white tail plumes a full 3 feet behind its body. They undulate like fine ribbons in the breeze.
For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 30 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by the Alaska Design Forum's Evelyn Russo. Welcome to the show, Evelyn.
Hi, thanks.
And also their guest speaker, architect Alvin Huang. Did I get it right?
You got that right.
All right, Alvin, thanks for coming up to Juno, and thanks for being on the show today. Evelyn, thanks, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the Alaska Design Forum.
Well, the Alaska Design Forum was founded in 1992 by a bunch of architects in Anchorage, and our mission is to spread the word about the importance of the built environment. And we have lots of programs, but our major one is a lecture series that we have every year. We bring between 7 and 9 designers, architects, artists to Alaska. They lecture in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau. And so tonight is our second lecture of the Future Tense series, which is our series for this year.
Okay, so you, Alvin, you've already been to Fairbanks or Anchorage?
Yeah, it was in Anchorage on Monday, Fairbanks last night, and just arrived in Juneau today.
And now you're making your way back down towards L.A.?
That's correct.
So let's see, you teach architecture at USC, is that right?
Yes.
And you are part of Synthesis Design and Architecture, is that your firm?
Yes, it is.
And, you know, looking at your website and press about you, you've been described as a progressive. Can you sort of describe your work for us?
Well, my work is really interested in, I'd say, the intersection of performance, technology, and materiality, and thinking about how architecture and form are things that can be informed by technology and both structural, material, environmental, and kind of aesthetic performance.
Okay. What's one of your favorite projects? What's a project that you're most proud of, and can you describe it for our listeners?
The cliche answer there is it's like being asked to name your favorite child. you love them all, but in different ways. But I would say the one that's probably given me the most press has been the Pure Tension Pavilion, which I did for Volvo, which is a portable solar-powered charging station for the Volvo V60 electric car. And flat packs and fits inside the trunk of the car and charges the car in about 12 hours.
Interesting. So that's sort of I would think more buildings and stuff, but it sounds like you do stuff that's mobile as
well. Right. So the office is sort of predicated on the intersection between design practice and design research and thinking of every project we do as a form of experimentation and a form of material and structural research, and the projects range from we have buildings all the way down to eyeglasses. That's the smallest thing we've done.
Wow. How many folks work for you?
It's myself, and then I have 3 other full-time people, although we tend to escalate a little bit in the summers.
Tell me if I get this right. I think I read this on your website. It's the balance between experimental and the visionary, with the practical and the pragmatic to achieve the extraordinary.
That's correct.
All right. Sounds pretty cool.
That's our stick.
What can folks expect? It's at the Gold Town tonight, right? Mm-hmm.
So the title of the talk is called Technology is the Answer, but What is the Question? And it's a quote from the late Cedric Price, an architect from the 1960s, who gave a lecture by the same topic or the same title in, I believe, 1967 in London. And it's a very prescient question, which I think is still very true today. I think technology is something that obviously is influencing the world around us. I think the problem with technology is oftentimes people are looking for technology to answer technological questions. And I think what I'm more interested in is looking at design questions, which are about real-world problems, and using technological advances in creative ways to be able to solve them.
Okay. What time does that start tonight?
6 p.m.
And what's the cost for that, Evelyn?
$15.
Okay. Thinking about the Alaska Design Forum for a second, do you still have, I know this is Future Tense, right?
Yeah, you've heard about that.
It's the name
yes.
of the season, right, or the right. theme of this year. Do you have Future Tense still happening?
That's a design competition. It's part of the same season or thematic of the year, but it's a design competition and that is going on right now.
And when is the deadline for designs?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. It's sometime in February.
Okay.
There was a workshop this past weekend, but there's a lot more information about it on our website. www.alaskadesignforum.org, application forms. There's going to be some other workshops and things, unfortunately, all in Anchorage.
Okay.
I think that they're due towards the end of February.
And basically, it is a tent competition, right?
We are asking people to rethink the tent. basically, you know, what that can be done with today's technology. And what's really exciting about this is it's not just a design. Actually, we're going to pick a few winners, and we're going to fund them to actually make their tents and using maker spaces across the state to actually make their tents and exhibit them at the Anchorage Museum next fall.
Thinking about lightweight construction, not to put you on the spot, Alvin, any any tips for our listeners right now who may want to enter this competition?
Form follows performance, not form follows function.
Got it.
So interesting.
Sort of the functionality of the tent comes first?
No, I would say that obviously the modernist ethos of form follows function still holds very true, but I think when I say form follows performance is thinking about function as something that is more than utility. And I think function oftentimes gets equated with utility and less about performance. And performance, I mean, is how well it does something, like in terms of a lot of the work I'm looking at is looking at trying to think about how structure and form are deeply intertwined, and that the relationships between those two means that geometry or form is not something that is imposed onto material. It's actually something that the material wants to do.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about teaching at USC. What's the scene like down there?
It's great. USC is in Los Angeles. As I was telling Evelyn earlier, there's about 8 design schools in Los Angeles, which means we have a really, really great design community. We have Los Angeles as a kind of laboratory for us to speculate on. The current projects I'm teaching right now are actually not about buildings, but more about speculations. And I have my students working on producing movies. So we're producing 5 independent films, 2 to 3 minutes each, which are speculating about a future Los Angeles that is a critique of conditions of the contemporary city.
Interesting. Doesn't sound like our parents' architecture school.
No. Well, there's definitely that part as well, but what I'm teaching is what's called a topic studio, so it's one of the option studios. And I think one of the things that's important to think about architecture is that it's not just about practice. It's also about critical thinking and about questioning.
Okay. If somebody wanted more information on your firm or USC, where's a good place to get that?
For my firm, www.synthesis-dna.com. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account and a Instagram account, all at synthesis-dna.
Okay. And Evelyn, will you give us the details again on tonight?
6 p.m., Goldtown Theater. I hope to see everyone there.
And what's the website for Alaska Design Forum?
www.alaskadesignforum.org.
All right, Evelyn Russo and Alvin Huang, thank you both for coming on the show today. Are we missing anything? Anything you want to add?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, we'll see you tonight.
Take care.
Bye.
Friends, right when I scream to Support comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, offering coffee break service for the office, delivering fresh roasted coffees, brewing equipment, and beverage supplies to offices and businesses around Southeast. Information at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, in for Jamie Waste. It's about 18 minutes or 17 minutes until the top of the hour. And with me now in the studio is Sarah Lewis. She is an agent for UAF Cooperative Extension. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Scott.
We've spoken with you in the past. I know, Sarah.
Have.
But in case somebody doesn't know what the UAF Cooperative Extension does, can you give us
the 101?
Yeah.
Sure, I can. So UAF, as in Fairbanks, is our land-grant university for Alaska, and associated with every land-grant university is a cooperative extension. And the goal, and for the past 100 years, the goal of the cooperative extension has been basically to get the unity of the people. So research information to people who aren't necessarily in a rich environment.
Okay.
All kinds of topics.
How many of you agents are there?
How many agents? You know, that's a really good question. Well, there are. We have two for Southeast.
Okay.
We're hoping to have one more hired eventually in Sitka, so three for Southeast. And then we have several districts. I think we have eight districts, and so there's an agriculture horticulture agent in each district, a 4-H agent in each district, and a family and youth, a family and community development agent in each district, as well as some specialists and things like that. So throughout the state, the whole point is we're not centered at the university itself in Fairbanks, because the goal is to actually get information out to people where they are, which is in the communities.
And I noticed you have a lovely blue sweater on today. As an agent, you don't have to wear like black
no,
leather.
No uniforms. We've talked about it.
What would they look like?
Probably overalls and extra tufts is what it would be, but...
Okay. Physically, where's the location here in Juneau?
Sure. We are at 450 Whittier. We're in the public safety building on the first floor. We're open 8 to 5 every day, sometimes closed around the lunch hour or 1 to 2. And we're open Monday through Friday.
And give us a couple landmarks for where that is.
We are across the street from the new museum construction site, soon to be new SLAM museum site.
We're neighbors.
We are.
Okay, so what's going on? You said some sailing classes?
Yeah.
In winter?
Well, you know, sailors. If you've
right?
ever known a sailor, they're thinking about it all year. Here in Juneau, of course, the actual sailing happens in summer. But we have a really great 4-H program, which is the 4-H Sailing Club. We did it for the first year last year. We have two captains, two skippers, and this is large boat sailing. So we complement the program that a lot of people are familiar with, which is the Juneau Youth Sailing, which is the smaller boats. You'll see them out in the channel in the summer. Great, great program. A lot of their kids are ready or want to move to also do sailing on larger boats. So we have in our fleet of two at this point, and we hope for more in the future, we have a 34-foot sailboat and a 41-foot sailboat that the kids go out on in the summer. So to get them ready for that, we start with our shore meetings in winter so that they can get safety information and how to get ready for a cruise and all kinds of stuff.
Excellent. And when do those start?
Actually, the first shore meeting is tomorrow. So that's the 10th. So December 10th, 5:30 at our office, the extension office. So 450 Whittier. Okay. About 5:30 to 7 is when we're going to hold it.
All right. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted more information, what's the best way to get up?
523-3280. Extension 1. That's talking to me. I'm called the Shore Admiral for this particular club because I do all of the communication and coordination here, because one of those two sailboats is actually my family sailboat. So I'm both a leader and sort of the 4-H coordinator for it.
What age youngsters would benefit from this most?
11 through 18. We had kids from 11 through 16 last year. And it's got a maximum number of 16 kids because it's based on kind of how many we can deal with in the summer on the boats themselves. So we do have some spaces available because we just increased it. It went from 12 to 16. So we have some more spaces for kids. It costs $10 to register for 4-H. There are scholarships available, and we may have some fees for the club itself for snacks. But once again, scholarships available for that also.
Okay. Do you also have a fermenting and pickling class?
I do,
coming
to
up?
Shift gears to mm-hmm. a completely different topic, but that's kind of what, as an agent, my program, I do all kinds of different things, from youth things to food stuff. I do a lot of food things in Southeast.
They'll need pickles out on the sailboat. For sure.
Pickles are very popular yeah. out on the sailboat. So this Saturday, we've been trying to do monthly Saturdays with Extension, and this is the second one that I've done. Darren, we alternate. Darren does them every other month. So this month is mine, and I am doing learning about pickling and fermenting. It'll be at the Valley Library Conference Room, and it's actually pretty exciting. I'm going to be broadcasting it over the OWL network as well, which is online with libraries. So libraries throughout Southeast have signed up, and they're going to be on a screen, and they're going to be watching me live, and we'll be getting questions from them as well as the questions in the audience here in Juneau.
Excellent. When's that again?
That is this Saturday, 1 to 3, Mendenhall Valley Library.
Okay. Well, Sarah Lewis, thank you for coming on the show today. Are we missing anything?
Oh, no. Just come on out.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Scott.
Daddy worked the crop from dawn to dusk. His face was red and his hands were wrinkled. But I dreamed of the day I'd join him on the water, harvesting that green and slimy crop. Now my hair is long, my beard untrimmed. Crop is getting thin, water's getting warmer. I'm a hippie kelp farmer, I'm a hippie kelp farmer. Now my mama always told me to get a job in the city, but I want to make my living on the sea. So I spend my days out on the water, harvesting that green and slimy crop. Now my hair is long, my beard untrimmed. Crop is getting thin, water's getting warmer. I'm a hippie kelp farmer, I'm a hippie kelp farmer. Is broke and my boat is sold. Grandma is dead and I'm living in the city. But I dream of the days I spent on the water, harvesting that green and slimy crop. Now my hair is long, my beard untrimmed. Crop is getting thin, water's getting warmer. I'm a hippie kill farmer, I'm a hippie kill farmer.
Magic.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, in for Jamie Wace. It's about 8 minutes until the top of the hour. And my last guest on the show today is Sandy Palke. She teaches at Floyd Dryden, and she's also the Girls on the Run coordinator for AWARE. Is that right, Sandy?
I'm actually the coach for I'm doing the race that's this Saturday.
Oh, okay. So this is the Jingle Jog.
Correct.
I like the name. It's this Saturday from 12 to, or this Saturday, 12:12. And it's a fundraiser for Girls on the Run. Is that right?
Correct. We are hoping to raise money. So for all of the donations will go for helping out the program. about $100 is what it costs to cover our fees for one girl. And then $35 is what we pay for running shoes. So all of the proceeds will go to help support the program in, that's in the middle schools as well as the elementary schools as well as the middle schools.
Yeah, Girls on the Run, a very cool program. Where is the actual race this Saturday?
So the race is going to be at Floyd Dryden Middle School. We had a little trouble trying to decide where it was going to be because we never know what the weather is going to be. But the course will be starting at Floyd Dryden, and it will be heading up towards the glacier. We will be on the sidewalks and then coming back towards the glacier, from the glacier. There will be a 1 mile as well as a 5K.
Okay, and if I know Girls on the Run, it can just be a fun walking kind of a thing, or it can be competitive, right?
Absolutely. We're there. We encourage the girls. It's open to everybody in the community. We're encouraging all the runners out there. But we'd love to see the Girls on the Run girls show up in their T-shirts from last weekend and make sure you're dressed for winter weather. Hopefully there won't be any ice, but weather looks good for right now.
Excellent. Girls on the Run seems to be doing really well in the community. What is it that you like about the program?
As a middle school coach, I really appreciate some of the lessons, especially the girls being comfortable with who they are. As somebody who's taught middle school in this town for about 23 years, it's a tough thing. And learning to accept yourself and celebrate who you are and be comfortable in your own skin is really important. And so I think the lessons that these girls start learning in early elementary school all the way through eighth grade are terrific lessons that everybody should have.
And if folks don't know about Girls on the Run, give us just a brief sketch of what it's like. It's an after-school thing, right?
Correct. It's an empowering and fun after-school program for girls from third to eighth grade. They meet twice a week in the elementary for 12 weeks. And we're actually piloting a new middle school program this year called Heart and Soul. And it's been totally rewritten, and it's a 10-week program. And we're real excited. It's much more geared to today's middle schooler. It feels much different than the actual Girls on the Run program. It's called Heart and Soul, and we're real excited to be pulling out that new curriculum.
Okay. To support this program, you can go to this run. It's a 1 mile or a 5K on Saturday. Tell us about registration information, Sandy.
All right. Registration begins at 9. It is a suggested donation of $20 per person, but we'll accept as you can pay. Also, if you're not able to run, you can donate online it's gotrgreateralaska.org. So if you're unable to attend and you're interested in helping us with this program, please feel free to go to our website.
All right, Sandy Palke, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the Jingle Jog. It's this Saturday. Give us that website once more, please.
gotrgreateralaska.org.
All right. Sandy, is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's it. We hope to see you all out there this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow, Joan Pardis will be your host. Katie Bosler will be on the show to highlight spring 2016 registration at UAS. Sally Smith will be here to highlight this weekend's Holidays Pops concert. We'll talk with Odin Miller about Sunday's Alaska Climate Action Network potluck. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Let's take a look at the weather here. Tonight, numerous rain showers, patchy fog. The snow level will be around 1,200 feet with lows around 34. Thursday calls for partly cloudy conditions and patchy fog in the morning. Isolated rain showers as well. Highs around 37. Friday looks like mostly cloudy. Highs around 33. And going into the weekend, Saturday mostly cloudy. Chance of snow. And Sunday mostly cloudy. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter. And I always put up show lineups and other arts news there. See you tomorrow, same time, same frequency.